help us to know that the story this morning is not about judgment, but it's really about encouragement. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Today's message, and you know, it's interesting because we've had Sakura's baptism on the calendar for a few weeks now. And Sakura, where'd that come from? Because she was standing here. I have no excuse, folks. I'm old. Okay?
That's a
Francesca. Anyway, we've had that on the calendar. Sakura, you must be next.
Oh, the Holy Spirit's calling.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we've had it on the calendar for a little while, and I sometimes follow the lectionary, you know, and that's that printed out thing that they do in all the Sunday readings. And when I originally read what today's passage was, I sat there and I went, nah, this isn't about baptism. Why would I want to preach on this or talk about this on a Sunday that we've got a young lady who is going to commit publicly her relationship to God and say that publicly and do that not only in her church of choice, but around her family, being surrounded by her family? How does this passage fit? And, you know, God's kingdom is like 10 young virgins who took oil lamps and went out to greet the bridegroom. 5 were silly and 5 were smart. The silly virgins took lamps but no extra oil. The smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. The bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him, and they all fell asleep. In the middle of the night, someone yelled out, "He's here. The bridegroom is here. Go out and greet him." The 10 virgins got up, got out their lamps, and were ready. The silly virgins said to the smart ones, "Our lamps are going out. Lend us some of your oil." They answered, "There might not be enough to go around, so go buy your own." They did, but while they were out buying the oil, the bridegroom arrived. And when everyone who was there to greet him had gone into the wedding feast, the door was closed and locked. Much later, the other virgins, the silly ones, showed up, knocked on the door, and said, "Master, we're here. Let us in." And the master said, "Do I know you? I don't think that I know you. Stay alert, for you have no idea when the master might return." Do y'all agree with me? This has got nothing to do with baptism, does it? I mean, not really. Especially if we understand baptism the way we do. It's a new life, and, you know, we're going to have a party, and it's a commitment, and all of that kind of wonderful stuff. And, of course, if you've gone to church for any length of time, you've heard this passage 100 times, amen? And every time you hear it is preached about what? Judgment. That you better have it right. So if your oil lamp isn't full, you know, there's nothing but a hot fire waiting for you. Amen? I had to read the passage again and realize that, you know, sometimes we get caught up in this whole idea that we have to be right and wrong and that 2,000 years of theology can't be all wrong. But it occurred to me that maybe we're making more out of this story than what needs to be made out of it. Because, first of all, let's understand the history of the way this story is told. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah to return. They were waiting to get oppression off their back. They were trying to be prepared for that day when God would set them free. And so this story gets told with that understanding. You know what? We don't live in that world. We might be waiting, but I guarantee you, if you're honest with yourself, you are not waiting for God to show up tomorrow. And you know how I know that? Because when I talk to you, you've already got plans for tomorrow. Amen? You've got to go to work. You've got a list that's got to be followed. You've got schools to graduate from. You've got bills to pay. In fact, the last thing that is on our mind is sitting around waiting for God to come back. So I got to thinking about that. Because, you know, we're way after the fact. You know, when Scripture was written, even Paul thought that Jesus was coming next week. Amen? You know how that goes? Right? You know, some of you are not going to go to sleep, and Jesus is going to be back. Well, it turned out that was wrong. Amen? And I know that some people are going to sit there and go, well, but, yeah, no, Pastor, I don't agree with you. If God shows up tomorrow, I'm ready. Really? Really? You have any regrets for things that you haven't done yet? Anybody you're mad at that you haven't forgiven? Anybody that you haven't told them that you love them? You see, where I'm going with this story is not about judgment. And it's not about getting shut out of God's kingdom. This was Jesus trying to tell people that they needed to get ready, that they needed to spend their time in their relationship with God and to prepare themselves. That's not the same thing as getting shut out. It's really important that we understand it. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, but how many of you have your...
Oh, I'm sorry. Not two. I don't know what it is.
How many of you have your will written? I said don't raise your hand.
Oh, that's right.
How many of you have talked to somebody who, if you can't make a decision about yourself medically, that there's somebody that can make that decision for you? How many of you have got a few dollars filed away so that when the kid wants that special treat or you need that little bit of extra gas, that you can go get it? By the way, this is Georgia. And you know that by the time February gets here, we are going to have some ice. Amen? All right? Those of you who are living in apartments or houses, how many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have salt sitting there ready to go? How many of you have a snow shovel? And, of course, some people would sit there and go, oh, well, Pastor, this is Georgia. Hey, I've been in Atlanta for 20 years. You need a snow shovel and salt. May not need it for very long, but you still need it. Obviously, this city needed it. What was it, 2 years ago? I couldn't get off my street for a week because the ice was so thick. This story is about preparation. This story is to help us understand that in our relationship with God, we should always be ready to do something. And don't you hate that? Have you ever, now, I don't know if any of you are like me, but I'm one of these guys that goes from point A to point B, okay? If I get in a car and I'm coming to church, I just drive from the house to church, right? Billy, God love him, wants to stop at the store and pick up a few things. Amen? You know? And then when we get in the store, instead of going to get whatever it is we stopped to get, he's got to look at other stuff. Amen? And then decide to get some more stuff. It drives me crazy. I want to go to the store, get what you're supposed to get back in the car, go home. Amen? I want to live that way. But see, the problem is we live in a world where we have forgotten about preparation. We have forgotten to do the little things. We get so caught up in this story about this being judgment. And so what does that have to do with the baptism today? Francesca, come here. What it has to do with the baptism is this. This child, how old are you?
Seven.
At the age of seven, is already preparing for her relationship with God. How many of us have really said yes to God? How many of us have said to God, we love you as much as you love us. That's what this story is about. You know, when you come face to face with God, we shouldn't be sitting there thinking, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. You know, God, I was pretty mad at you. Because what we need to hear is the fact that God is all embracing. And this Francesca gets. I will tell her family. And I don't mean to embarrass her, but I've been in ministry for 30 years. Never once have I had a child this age come and say, I want to be baptized. And know what she was saying. She wants to make a commitment here today, folks. So if you want to be prepared, follow her example. Don't pay any attention to what I say. Follow her. Follow her. Because by the time this is all over, she's going to be a little diva that you want to pay attention to. Amen? Now, as for those of you, you are right.
Go hide now.
Yeah, you can go hide. 1780. In New England, there was a dark day that frightened a lot of people. At noon, it was as dark as it was in the middle of the night. The birds were as confused as the people. Fluttered off into the evening dusk, the cows meandered home from the pasture, the chickens come home to roost, religious men fell on their knees and begged a final blessing before the end came. In Hartford, Connecticut, the state legislature was in session, and someone moved adjournment, thinking that the day of judgment had come. But a legislator stood up and said, I am against adjourning this meeting. The day of judgment is either approaching or it's not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, candles to be brought. The legislator approved his request. And so the question this morning, as you listen to this scripture and you witness Francesca being baptized, have you been faithful in your relationship to God as well as the people around you? And are you indeed, when God does show up, going to be found doing the work of your Savior? God bless.